Imagine if all we knew of the Third Reich was from the words of their official documents. But is it not the case that the extent of what most of us know is just what we are told in the official documents of our various states? Recall Göring's words. Quote, "We will go down in history either as the world's greatest statesmen or its worst villains," unquote. And recall Miklos's words from chapter 18. Quote, "But when the race of supermen had achieved final victory, having won the war and acquired the territory vital to its needs, then the skeletons of those cripples and dwarfs who had been murdered here would be put on display in the spacious halls of great museums, along with a descriptive plaque giving their name, age, nationality, occupation, etc. Then, on the anniversary of Victory Day, thousands of students of this Third Reich, built to endure 1,000 years, would be led through these halls by their professors to pay homage to their illustrious forebears, their forebears who, by this victory and the realization of the sacred mission which history had entrusted to the master race, had pushed the surrounding peoples, French, Belgians, Russians, Poles, into the niches corresponding to their inferiority. Better still, they would have completely annihilated one European people, the Jews, who had a long history behind them, a history of 6,000 years, but who had no right to exist a few centuries longer. Why? Because in the course of its long history, the Jewish race had degenerated into a people of dwarfs and cripples. By mixing with other races, they had sullied and threatened to contaminate with degeneracy the only pure race, the Aryan." Unquote from Miklos Niesli's Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account. Isn't it just that easy for states to shape our thinking? Don't we mindlessly repeat its key themes? We are workers and advanced, and we pay to sell our thinking. Our ability to manipulate facts are superior to those paid to sell our youth, our knees, our backs. So in saying that Emmanuel Wallerstein can help us over our lexicon problem, putting it like this is but seizing the tip of a very large iceberg. I believe the way in chief that we're given that critical leg up by Wallerstein is in his, along with Terence Hopkins, Creating World Systems Theory, and thereby showing us, not in these words, but true nonetheless, that the world we are living in, defined by class prerogatives, is a single reality. And so, necessarily, totalitarian. But there's an unintended consequence in this, of which we made reference in the Waking Up radio show of December 12th, 2012. We said in that show that totalitarianism is a self-defeating project, and the totalitarian project operationalized means take everything the people have, privatize everything. And this means not just the earth, but our hands and our minds, because that's the only way to create scarcity. And scarcity is the only way to keep us working. And keeping us working is the only way to control our thoughts. And controlling our thoughts, ensuring that we don't have minds of our own, is the only way to achieve total control. Totalitarianism, as Alice Miller showed. But totalitarianism is a self-defeating project because it requires making everyone come in, i.e. it unites us, which means inevitably we come to see the whole, i.e. we must try to understand the whole when we try to understand our lives, which we want to do as living, as human beings. We are determined to figure it out. So what does that mean for scholarship? I think it explains the way man is framed, I mean the article by him in Does Capitalism Have a Future? The attempt, and we'll discuss this next week, the attempt to render acknowledgement of the whole harmless to power. And so for whose benefit is this intense monitoring and censoring and massaging of scholarship? Whose benefit is it for? If not for the privileged youth in universities, those same youth Miklos could see being led through the impressive spaces power creates to celebrate itself and con the next generation of privileged, to con them into feeling honored to join the ranks of the philosopher king global statesman. So, power's firm hold on scholarship. Power's firm hold on scholarship, a sine qua non power has been aware of at least since Plato's Uncle Critias, persists. So it's up to us, we commoners, to reincorporate within us scholarship, which means we have to create the language to do this.